Amen. Morning, church.
Morning.
Praise God. It's good to be here, isn't it? Hallelujah. Jonah, you can't outrun grace. Hands up all the men under 30. Under 30. Jake almost put his hand up there. Yeah. All the men under 40. Oh dear me, eh? There's some shy men in this one. Eh? All the men under 50. All right. You can probably outrun me, but you can't outrun grace. You can't get away from God's grace. It doesn't matter where you go. Some of us have just come back from vacation. Some of us are going on vacation. You cannot get away from God's grace. It's everywhere. It's never ending. It's abounding. It's overflowing. We're looking at Jonah. You can't outrun the grace of God. There you go. I married that beautiful girl 5 years ago. And she said, I will. Can you imagine if she said, I won't? Can you imagine that, eh? Can you imagine if the pastor says, you know, do you take this man to be a lawful wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, as long as you both shall live, blah, 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 right? And she went, nah, I've changed my mind. How would that be, eh? But she never. She said, I will. But Jonah never said that. God says to Jonah, I've got this wonderful plan for you. I'm going to take you to a city called Nineveh. You know that huge city in Assyria? You know where all these things are happening? You know all these people? Jonah, I'm going to take you there, and I want you to preach in that city. Don't worry, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to go with you. What do you say, Jonah? And Jonah went, nah, I don't think so. How can that be possible? Well, let's just flick back to what we saw last week. As an introduction last week, we looked at these things. We looked at the place that he was from, which is quite significant, because he came from a place called Gath-Hepha, which is in between Cana and Nazareth. And of course, Jesus grew up in Nazareth. And as the series goes on, we'll see the similarities there between Jonah and the person of Jesus. The person of Jonah, his name means the dove, or the homing pigeon, as somebody put it. And his character was very much like a homing pigeon. Within the bounds of Israel, he was a mighty prophet, but whenever God asked him to step outside his comfort zone, he started to resist and he started to panic. The position, he was a prophet. And we looked at what a prophet is last week, and we saw that even in the church, there are many forms of prophets and prophecy. One obvious one this morning is prophecy through worship. We've just been worshiping, and God's been speaking to us as individuals through the worship. I had a lovely conversation with a very nice couple after the early morning service this morning. And the man said, you know, I wanted to go here, but my wife wants to go on holiday to Bangkok. And when they go to Bangkok, they get off at a rail station called Nana, right? Well, they had this conversation going on. And the last song that we're going to sing today, the chorus goes, na, 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 right?
Really?
Yeah, I'm not making this up, right? And the wife says, see, we're meant to go to Nana. I don't know if that was prophecy or not, I just speculate. The problem Jonah had is that he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah was, you could say he was slightly racist. He hated the Assyrians. He hated what they were doing to Israel. He hated the way they lived and the way they acted. And so this was a great problem. God says, well, if you love me, if you're a prophet, you'll go to anybody. And Jonah says, yes, I will, but not them. And I wonder, sometimes are we a bit like that as well? You know, I love you, Lord. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll talk to anyone, but not him. You know, we've got to be careful that we're not racist towards racists. Yeah? St. Paul was a racist, as Saul of Tarsus. He hated the church. He persecuted the church. He even had Christians thrown in jail and even approved of their murder. And then when Saul got saved and he became Paul. He was brought to Jerusalem. And some of the Christians there said, I don't want to talk to him. They were racist towards the racist. We've got to be careful we don't fall into that trap as well. So, okay, that was the introduction last week. This week we're going to look at two things, okay, very briefly. It's not a long sermon, so don't worry. Right? Two things. First of all, the flight of Jonah. Jonah 1:1-3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Now, where on earth is Tarshish? It's nowhere near Hanoi, I guarantee you that, right? Well, we know that it's associated with maritime trade because he went to get a boat there, right? Tarshish could have been any large trading port on that coast. Josephus, who we looked at last week, the Jewish writer and historian, he said it could have been in Asia Minor, which was modern-day Turkey. And yeah, that is a possibility. It could have been there. There was trade routes between Israel and Asia Minor. Some commentators said it was in the southern tip of India, because there was also shipping routes there. But most commentators, and I would tend to agree with this one, say it's in the southern coast of Spain. In fact, a Greek geographer called Strabo, he talks about a city called Tarshish on the southern Iberian Peninsula of Spain. And if you've ever been to Spain, if you look at the map, you'll see a city called Malaga that I've been to before. And just round the corner from Malaga, there's a British concession called the Rock of Gibraltar. And it's that area, round about Gibraltar, round about Malaga, is probably the place called Tarshish. There was also a settlement there founded by the children of Javan, the grandson of Japheth, one of the sons of Noah. And so there was already a connection. There was always a people in place that Jonah could go to. He had worked it all out. This wasn't a spur-of-the-minute decision. Tarshish is mentioned in Scripture. Ezekiel 27:25, the ships of Tarshish serve as carriers for your wares. Tarshish was a very rich place. And the ships there, the huge big ships, big galleons, they would take gold and silver and other gems across to Israel to be sold. Psalm 48, verse 7 speaks about you destroying them like the ships from Tarshish, these mighty big ships. So this was no mere fishing boat that we're talking about. So if you like, Tarshish was as far as Jonah could travel. It was one of the most distant places in the known world. It was the other end of the Mediterranean from Israel. It was far as a prophet like Jonah could ever imagine. It was also an enticing place for many reasons. One, because of the stories that came back that were always exaggerated. And one, because it was taking him away from God. So Tarshish to Jonah became anywhere but the right place, because it was the opposite to where God wanted him to be. Okay, ponder this for a moment. King David longed to stay in the presence of the Lord. Let's read these words together. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And again, Psalm 51, let's read it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Who would want to be cast away from the presence of God? We were enjoying the worship just a few minutes before, just quietly, just worshiping the Lord personally, collectively. Who would want to be removed from that in church? David wallowed in the presence of God. And yet here was Jonah trying to run away, trying to flee away from the presence of God. It didn't seem to make sense. And yet he was not the first. Way back in Genesis, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. Here was Adam and Eve, the first human beings, trying to flee from the presence of God. Cain fled from God when he killed his brother. Moses, after killing an Egyptian. It's not a new thing to flee from the presence of God or to try. Adam, Eve, Cain, Moses, they all ran because of their fear. They were afraid of what God would say. But here was Jonah, slightly different. Jonah ran believing he was exercising his freedom. He was a prophet. He was someone that God had called to be a mouthpiece, to be a messenger of the Almighty. And he was running. He was saying, well, I can choose in this. I can decide if I want to listen to God or if I want to run away from him. How wrong he was. And how wrong we are if we let that mindset become ours. We are bought with a price. Jesus purchased us with his own blood. We belong to him. Quite often you hear about people's rights, don't you? Human rights. Rights of motorists. Well, maybe not in Hanoi, right? Rights. You turn on the news, it's all about rights. You know, I read recently about British soldiers. They are now wanting a law where they can decide if they want to go to war or not. Can you imagine that? There's a war comes up, I don't know, in say some country in the Middle East, and Britain's called to go to war, and the soldiers are saying, well, I'm not sure I want to go. If you're a soldier, you go. You do what the commanding officer says. If you're a prophet, you do what the voice of God is calling you to. If you're a Christian, you obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Our rights are caught up in his will. And so he sets out for an uncertain journey, hoping that in Tarshish he could become a nobody. Try and think about it. Try and get into the mind of Jonah for a moment here. Here's a prophet thinking, if I can get to the other end of the world, I can just mingle with the crowd and become a nobody. Let me tell you something. No one who is called by God will ever be a nobody. No one who is saved by the blood of Christ will ever be a nobody. Because in Christ, you will always be a somebody. Hallelujah. He tried to be a nobody. Here's the story of every backslider. Everyone that's gone through some turmoil or some trouble and thought, Lord, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to go back into the old life. I'm going to run away. I'm going to go somewhere and just be somebody, nobody. And God says, impossible. You'll always be somebody special in me. The road to Tarshish. It was a road of disappointment, really. Even since Jonah started to set out, he knew he was going in the wrong place. He knew it was a road of disobedience because he'd heard God's voice and he was simply doing the opposite, or as Mike said, he bolted, right? I'm going that way. It's a road of disruption. All along this journey, God disrupted Jonah by his grace. Isn't that lovely? God disrupted his journey with his grace. Hallelujah. I love when God disrupts my life with his grace. If I'm doing something or going in a certain direction, the grace of God comes and disrupts it and says, no, Charlie, this is the way. Hallelujah. But it's a road of disasters as well. And, you know, and sometimes these are an indication. If you're going down a certain pathway, a certain road, and everything's wrong, then you're going to question, is this the road God is leading me? And maybe somebody here, God's speaking to you right now, and you've been walking down a certain direction, or you've been going in a certain avenue, perhaps at work or in some mission, and all along the way, disaster, you've got to question yourself, is this of God? And so every step that Jonah took brought him in deeper into a mess of his own making. Whenever you turn away from God, whenever you stop listening to God, every step you take will take you deeper into a mess of your own making. So whenever we stop listening to God, whenever we choose convenience over conviction, that's an easy one, isn't it? God says, I want you to do this, but it's going to be tough. And we said, no, I'll do that, it's easier. Whenever we choose our way instead of God's way, we take a step nearer to Tarshish, a road of disappointment, a road of disruption, a road of disobedience, a road of disaster. Okay, let's read. And so he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. He went down. Did you notice that? He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He went down into the hull of the boat. We'll see that next week. He went down into the ocean. Down, down, down. If he'd obeyed God in the first place, God would have lifted him higher. And every step he took, God would lift him higher still and encourage him. Isn't it great when you're walking in the will of God and you do some small thing and God blesses you? Isn't that amazing? God just lifts you higher and higher. But he was Jonah, down, down, down. And every step he took, took him down. He was on a decline. Remember, after being saved for 1 year, I used to do something called the soup run in England, in Leeds. And the soup run was at 10 o'clock at night time. We got dressed up in old clothes. And we got a flask of soup and some bread. And we went looking for people that were sleeping rough. It's quite dangerous at 10 o'clock at night time in a big city. Sometimes we got chased, we got rocks thrown at us. But one night I went looking for people to speak to. And I was out in the snow for an hour and a half. And I found nobody. And I'm walking home complaining to God. Have you ever done that? You ever had a good moan to God, yeah? Of course you have. A good grumble to God, right? And I'm walking home and I'm grumbling to God. Lord, why did I just spend an hour and a half in the snow and I'm cold and I'm going to catch flu and I never met anybody? And God says, because I asked you to. And for a moment, I thought I was in heaven. I was blessed so much, I thought my heart was going to burst. Here was I in -5 or -6 degrees. The snow was coming down, and my heart was burning with the love of God. I wanted to go back and do it for an hour and a half. Had Jonah obeyed God, he'd have been lifted higher and higher. But instead, he was brought down and down into decline. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship headed for that port. And after paying the price, he went aboard. He found a ship. Did you notice that? How convenient was that, eh? These ships only came about twice a year. They were huge, big cargo vessels, right? And Jonah went there, and he found a ship. Whenever we start to disobey God, whenever we do the opposite of his will, there will always be a ship. There will always be a ship waiting to take you further from God's will. It might be a friendship. It might be a partnership. It might be a relationship. It might be a scholarship. But there'll always be a ship waiting to take you further from the will of God. And notice there it said he paid the price. Some commentator says that he paid the price for the whole ship. He was so desperate to run away from God and get out of God's will, he could have paid the price for everybody just to get on board. I'll tell you something, when you walk away from the will of God, there's always a price. There's always a price to pay. Paul says to Romans, the wages of sin is death. There's always a price when we start to ignore the will of God in our life. The flight of Jonah. Let's look at the plight of Jonah. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. They threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Well, he probably said it rougher than that, right? But, arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has become upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. The men were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, what is this that you've done? For the men knew he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. All the sailors started praying to their idols, their gods. I was saying earlier that these sailors would have come from a whole different places. Some would have come from one city, some from another, and they would have had all different types of idols depending on the area they had come from. And they all started to bow down and pray to their gods. And the only person who knew the real God, he's sound asleep. He's downstairs. So four things about the sailor's response to Jonah in the storm. And we'll wrap up with these. The first thing I want you to notice is they questioned his preoccupation in Jonah 1 verse 6. They says, what are you doing? Here's trying to imagine the storm's coming, the ship's breaking up, they're throwing big heavy boxes overboard to keep it buoyant. And here's this guy down there sleeping. How come you can sleep when everything round about us is in chaos? One commentator said, what an awful indictment on the church of God. Sometimes the church of God is sleeping when all round about us, people are in chaos. People are perishing and going to hell. The question is preoccupation. The question is profession. What do you do? He says, well, I'm a prophet. Oh, it's a prophet. What do you do? Do people ever have to question your profession? If you're in a mission, do people have to question, what are you doing? Do people ever have to say to you, are you really a Christian? You know, our lives should be showing this. Our lives should be broadcasting who we are and what we're doing. We shouldn't have to say anything. Our life should do it first. They question his pedigree of what people are you from? What's your background? And they question his purpose. Why have you come here? And Jonah was able to say to them, I am fleeing from the presence of the God, the real God, the creator of the oceans. I am fleeing from his presence. And at that point, the Bible says the whole ship's crew started to worship, not their idols, but they started to worship the real God. You cannot outrun the grace of God. Here was Jonah in a backslidden condition, and God uses him to save a whole crew. But that wasn't God's plan. And regardless of your spiritual state at the moment, God is going to use you. Here's a fact, okay? Quote me on this. God wants to use you where you are right now. But he might have a bigger plan for you. God used Jonah where he was, in his state, in the boat, half sleeping, giving half-hearted answers, and people were converted to God. God has got something bigger for all of us. Okay? Don't be content with saving a few sailors when God wants to use you to save a city. God has got something huge for us. But so often we get comfortable, don't we, as Christians? We're comfortable in a little box. We say, well, you know, I've been in Hanoi for 4 years and I've led one person to the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise God for that one person. But God says, yes, but I had 40 lined up. God doesn't want us to get comfortable. We were saying that last week. He wants us to go and find our Nineveh. But we've got to listen. We've got to listen to God's voice. And we've got to respond to it and do as he asks. Look at this picture here. I'm going to close with this. Where do you think this guy is? Where do you think he is? Just shout it out. Where? Stage? Rock concert? Club? Yeah, I think he's at a rock concert. I think he's at a rock concert, right? But if he's at a rock concert, what do you do at rock concerts? You watch and you... So why has he got earplugs in? Why would you go to a rock concert and have earplugs in your ears? Unless the music was bad. Unless it was me singing. But why would you go to a rock concert and put earplugs in your ears? Isn't that stupid? Why would you come to church and do the same? Why would you say you're a believer and do this? God wants us to listen. God is speaking to you this morning. He's speaking to one or two individuals in a very strong way, but he's speaking to the church generally. And he's saying, I've got something much bigger than what you're doing right now. There's something that I want you to do, and it's so huge, but you need to listen. If you want to know the will of God for your life, if you want to know your sole purpose in being here in Hanoi, in Vietnam, then take out the earplugs. You say, well, what earplugs? Well, there's a lot of things that clog up God's voice. Habits that you know are wrong. Doing things in complete disobedience to the Word of God. Not spending a time with God in the morning in devotions. There's a lot of things that are earplugs, and God's saying, take them out. If you take out the earplugs, you can hear my voice. And boy, when you see what I've got planned for you, you're going to be amazed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just again, we thank you, Lord, for showing us what was happening in the life of Jonah and how applicable that is to what we are doing here in Hanoi today. Father, we're tempted so many times to flee from your will. When you tell us something that's wrong or something that's wrong in our hearts that we feel uncomfortable with, something that we feel that if we did it, we'd maybe look a bit silly or a bit strange, but Lord, you still call us anyway. Help us to listen more. Help us to take out the earplugs. In Jesus' name, amen.